The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. We have reached the second hour of the program, and John Talty will join us shortly. Looking forward to that. Let's check in with John, who is in Tampa. Hello, John.
Yeah, hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Kentucky basketball and specifically John Calipari. I understand he's a Hall of Fame coach and all that, but his game management, and I know that he's been getting clobbered, and his inability. I sat behind his bench at the SEC tournament in Tampa, and I saw you there. I've never seen a coach scream at the official so much in all my life and not coach his team.
Yeah, I mean, all you can ultimately do is examine the net result. And John's record lately versus talent is starting to catch up.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Paul. You know, the key to coaching is not when you have the horses. When the horses are somewhat equal in the last 5 or 6 years, even going back to the Wisconsin game, in the Final Four, his inability to adjust, and I think he gets so worked up and screaming at the refs that he doesn't coach the game. And the fan base sees it. He talks down to the fan base.
Yes.
On his press conferences, calls them basketball, whatever the term he uses. And, you know, he's being paid a lot of money to coach Kentucky basketball. And I'm just not seeing it. I've been a lifelong fan. I know the fan base is really tired of it. And the question is he going to adapt to it, or is he just going to continue
to do what he's doing? Listen, you're a smart guy. You know the answer to that. He's not John Calipari is not going to adapt to anything at this point in his career. It's too late. And
well, then I know the buyout. That's the last thing. The buyout, like his buyout, who in the world would ever give someone that kind of buyout where he's basically got them and he's just not getting it done anymore.
Yeah, and I know I've had people sending me notes and texts and tweets saying, you know, why are you so tough on coaches? I'm tough on coaches because it's their responsibility. I've had people tell me all the time, well, the players weren't hitting the shots. Well, you know what? That's why you have a bench. And in the Auburn case, it's been obvious for a long time what's been going on there. And yeah, I don't think anybody coaches harder than Bruce Pearl or takes more responsibility, but you have to make a change. That's what a coach is paid to do. And the coaching salaries are exorbitant. And if you don't perform in March, you're not worth your salary.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. But this has been a pattern now. This hasn't just happened for a year.
Oh, no. Cal is in a terrible – if you're objective, which it's hard to be about it. I mean, there are several coaches out there who I find it very difficult to be objective about. Nick Saban's one, but Nick Saban, a bad year, is one loss and losing the national championship game. Calipari, if you stop the clock at 2015, he has one of the most amazing records – that I've ever seen, starting
when he has better talent.
Yeah,
when
he's been to a couple of Elite Eights, but that's since 2015, not going to a Final Four with Kentucky talent, even though it may not be what it was. That's a strong signal that something is not happening, and Kentucky is not the Kentucky standards are not the same as Alabama standards in basketball. You better get you better get out of that first weekend. That's rule number one.
I agree. Paul, last thing. Do you think the loss to St. Peter's, I don't care about the numbers, 116, 215, with the resources that the University of Kentucky basketball has, that has to be, without question, the biggest upset in the history of the game. That Kentucky should never lose to St. Peter's College of Jersey City.
A school like St. Peter's, if you do the math, somebody said the other day that Cal makes more a year than their whole budget. I mean, that's not even part of it. I mean, that school barely is able to turn the lights on every day.
You're right.
And there's just no excuse for that. And I know I sound tough on Cal here today, but there really isn't. Murray State loses. That didn't change one thing. I think Cal's always whining about something. Well, now people are whining about him.
Oh, there's no question. And, I understand. Once again, he's a Hall of Fame coach. But he just not
doesn't matter.
Getting it done.
And John, and that's what we have to be realistic about. If you have to make decisions in real time. You can't make them. There are a lot of actors in Hollywood who have won Academy Awards, but I wouldn't put them in my movie right now.
You have
to be real. This is a very competitive world that we live in, and when you start to show signs, Cal wouldn't last. Cal wouldn't make it right now as an NBA coach with that record.
Cal could never coach in the NBA because all he does is scream at people.
Well, again, but I think. The only thing about him, the one thing I will argue, he's entitled to time. He has earned that capital. But at some point, the story on the day after the season is starting to sound very familiar.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very
Paul.
Much. And I don't know many people who are going to call him out on it because the media is usually intimidated by people like that. The fans are accustomed, and you always have to start the question. But I've watched a lot of great coaches in my career, which has been – I've been around a couple of years now. And when you start showing those signs, it's very difficult to turn it around. Everyone has a bad year. Krzyzewski's had bad years. Cal has had bad years. Saban has not had a bad year at Alabama, I might add. But at some point, you can't argue with the trend. And the trend for Calipari, if you can't look at the regular season, you can't look at beating Kansas by 20. You have to look at the performance. That's what makes basketball so great. It's all about these 4 weeks. Yeah, the regular season is not for naught. I mean, you're trying to position yourself. So you are a number two seed. So you get St. Peter's in the first round. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Dave is in Tennessee. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Well, this is such a pleasure to talk to you. I got hooked listening to you when you would be on with George Lapidus in Memphis.
Oh, my goodness. You're talking about one of my all-time heroes.
But I was just calling to comment about the Bruce Pearl press conference where he was talking about, he had young players and was playing against the 24-year-olds, and Calipari does the same kind of thing when he loses at the end of the season. And, my comment would be, well, start developing a program instead of just getting one and dones all the time. And, if that's what the reason that they're losing, they ought to change their tactics.
Yeah. You at some point you have to. And what kind of dog you got there, by the way?
Two mutts. I'm sorry.
They sound familiar. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We're up against a break. We have John Talty coming up here in a couple of moments, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Listening to Bryce during the break, college football season is coming on very strongly now with the absence of a lot of the schools in basketball. We'll get to basketball in a minute with our next guest, John Talty. His book, The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban, out this summer. It looks like John has sobered up, and I don't see any liquor bottles behind him. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. We got to save that for when we really need it. Which, I mean, I don't know if you're a basketball fan in Alabama, you might need it right now. But, you know, yeah, like kind of like you're saying, I mean, it's we're turning our attention to football now. You know, it's spring practice time, and that's an exciting time around the SEC. You know, hope reigns supreme right now.
We'll go back to basketball at the end. We've talked about it enough today. But so let's talk about Alabama to begin with. It's hard to imagine things aren't going well. I know that Saban always has a day. He practices and he lets everybody go home. What's your read on where things are right now?
Well, I think what was interesting listening to Bryce's comments is that it reminds me, you know, a lot of what Nick Saban said a few weeks ago in that high school convention where his comments leaked out, talking about, you know, treating every single day like it matters and guys having to step up and not just focusing on the big games, but doing it every day. And so it's clear that that message is being reinforced with the team, as you know, you and I talked about and how we knew it would be. And so that seems to be one of the defining messages right now is, you know, getting some of these younger guys who maybe didn't capitalize on their opportunity, you know, in the national championship game and some of the other games last year to really make it count in the spring and try to build some momentum heading into the fall.
Meanwhile, we finally have heard from Brian Harsin the other day. We haven't had a chance to talk to you about that yet. I don't know what we heard, though, because he acknowledges the coup went on, doesn't offer a lot of opinions, doesn't really say a whole lot in relation to it. But it's almost like, OK, I'm starting over again, but he's really not.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting is, Paul, is that I actually feel like that was probably one of the more candid versions of Brian Harsin that we've gotten. And so maybe that bar is pretty low, given, you know, kind of what you're saying there. But I thought that, you know, he addressed it in a way that I think made sense for him. You know, I think it was obviously the massive elephant in the room. He had to say something about it. And I think he showed a little bit of humility and kind of acknowledging, like, hey, like, some things didn't go well, as you guys all probably saw, given they tried to run me out after 1 year. And so I've got to do some things differently. And so now the important part is, what does he do differently? Does he, you know, is he treating boosters differently? Is he, you know, treating the players differently? Is he doing different things to try to build off of what was established over a very, you know, chaotic week or so period for him, in which, you know, a lot of stuff came out that didn't necessarily make him look good? Does he use that information to make changes in how he does things to try to get Auburn to a level beyond what he did in year one? That's going to be the big thing. I don't think we're going to know that for a while, but, you know, we'll see, at least in the spring, maybe we'll see some small tweaks in terms of what he tries to do. And of course, there's quite a few new coaches there, and we'll see how that changes Auburn's style.
John, let's talk about the people that tried to get him fired, whoever they are. I ask you this because I don't know if there's anybody that has delved deeper into the power brokers at Auburn than you have countless times in your column, especially in the piece you did right after Harsin was hired. These folks are like cockroaches. I mean, you don't see them, but they do kind of creep out at night when everyone is in bed and do their damage. Have you heard from any of these people? Because they are really going to control whether Brian Harsin survives or not, are they not?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, I think there's, again, I think there's probably a little bit of, I don't think embarrassment's the right word, but I think it's, you know, certainly those people thought that they had it. And, you know, there was a moment where, you know, and you and I have talked about this, there were moments where it felt like this is done. I mean, it's happening. And then, you know, essentially Brian Harsin called, you know, the bluff, and, you know, and ultimately he came back. And so for some of those people, you know, there's obviously some upset, hurt feelings that it didn't work out. I think there's people who, as you said, you know, when I wrote about when he was initially hired, there were some important people from day one who were out on him. They were out on him after year one. I don't think they've gotten back on board. I mean, there are some people that are just going to be out on him no matter what, unless he wins a national championship. And even then, they'll find a reason probably to not like him. But, you know, there's he's going to have to do a lot of work. You know, from my understanding, he is trying to do more in that realm of trying to, you know, cultivate some relationships that maybe he didn't do a good enough job, you know, in the beginning. But with some of those people, nothing he really does, I think, is going to change their feeling. And I think it's why, you know, everybody feels like he's entering, in terms of the SEC, the hottest seat because of everything that's already played out. And again, because some of those people who cut some big checks and are influential are never going to be supportive of Brian Harsin.
Yeah, I'll try not to sound too naive here, but how do you cultivate a relationship with some fat cap booster who didn't want you in the first place and then tried to fire you after a, after an average season? What do? You call him up and say, hey, Jimmy, let's go grab a beer one night and try to, you know, readdress our relationship. I mean, that's not possible, is it?
That's a good name you just kind of picked out from the clouds there, Paul.
Jimmy, Bobby, Joe. I don't know. I was just throwing.
Yeah, I mean, those are all just random names. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I think it takes humility on both sides. I think it takes you having to eat some crow. And you have to imagine, I mean, here's the thing, Paul, whether it's someone who's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, whether it's someone who is an SEC football coach, you know, more often than not, these are alpha people who are used to getting their way. They have dominating personalities. And so it's not a surprise that there are going to be clashes because these are guys who are getting used to getting what they want. They're used to being, you know, I want all these things and I get them. And so it takes people having to kind of accept, all right, you know, maybe you're not my guy, but like at the end of the day, what matters the most is Auburn. Or, you know, you just try to do these terrible things to me and I'm never going to forget those. But I also need your money. And so I need to find a way to get into that wallet. But it's a lot easier said than done. And, you know, again, I think there's ego involved. And so that's hard to sometimes get past. But again, at least from what I've heard, I think Harsin's trying to put a bit more effort in that area because I think, you know, if he didn't realize it before the coup attempt, he certainly realized it after the fact that at a school like Auburn, if you don't have those people on your side, you will get run out of town.
Yeah, and it's a fact, as you alluded to a minute ago, even those who have won titles and SEC championships and worked to get those people back on their side still got guillotined at the end. Why bother, I guess, is really because you either win at Auburn or you're out.
But what's interesting, Paul, is that even when they get guillotined, the majority of them don't move out of Auburn. They just stay there. And so then they end up probably having to, you know, bump into the people who got them fired at Publix. You know, it's such a unique place, as you well know, Paul.
Oh, there's only one reason why you move out of Auburn if after you've been fired, and that's if you get elected to the United States Senate. Then you have to leave X number of days a year.
You have to leave, but you can still insist on being called coach instead of senator.
Which is true. Tommy Tuberville is widely called coach on the Hill, and he is the coach. John, let's end with basketball because you mentioned the four schools from Alabama that went to the tournament. Now one lost against another in-state school, but it was an exciting year. But you tell me, you went to a basketball school in college. You follow the sport very closely. If you bomb out in March, does it really matter?
It doesn't. I mean, I guess you can talk about all of the fun memories we made along the way. You know, if you really want to, if you have that sense of, you know, I guess of life, or that's how you view life, you know, then I think that's great. I wish that, you know, as a fan that I felt that way or other people felt that way. But I think more often than not, especially basketball, it's so much about how it ends in the end. And when you're a team like Kentucky or Auburn, two teams that had legitimate national title hopes, two seeds, you're expecting at a minimum Sweet 16. That's the baseline. Anything from there is, you know, not gravy, but it's hard to get super upset. I mean, Kentucky fans can definitely do it, but if you're an Auburn fan, it's hard to get super upset if you lose in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight against a really good opponent. But to get knocked out in the second round when you have one of the best players in the country who could probably go either one or two in the NBA draft, another All-American in Walker Kessler, I mean, you were expecting this is the best team Bruce Pearl might ever have. They're going to make a run. Maybe it's not as good as the Final Four run they had a couple years ago, but they're at a minimum going to make a run. And so when they don't, it just leaves a super sour taste in your mouth. And it's kind of been trending that way for a while with Auburn. I mean, they flamed out in the SEC tournament, flamed out in the NCAA tournament. I mean, they'll always have that moment of being number one team in the country for the first time. That's great. And I think as time passes, that's what you can hang your hat on. But in the moment and in the short term, I don't think that you're going to be super excited about it. And think about it this way. If you're an Auburn fan, we were just talking about all the Brian Harsin drama. This basketball team has been a great distraction for Auburn fans. It's like, all right, we're putting all of our energy and hopes into the basketball team as all the drama happens in football. Well, basketball is over, and so now you got to go to football.
Yeah, and John, during that, we got a continual stream of callers here going, yeah, I mean, we're really upset, but we're a basketball school now. And that's pretty hard to handle that you're no longer a basketball school when you lose to Miami, kind of a middle of the packer in the ACC.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, Paul, but yeah, not a great ACC team. I mean, I think that it was a very good matchup for Miami. I think we knew that this Auburn team struggled in the guard position. We saw the wheels kind of wobbly and about to come off and kind of ran into a team that matched up well. But if you watched, and you know, I did watch a decent amount of Miami this year. I mean, not a great team by any stretch. I mean, good coach, kind of had the right matchup, but that one's going to be tough to swallow for a while for Auburn fans.
Okay, exit question here because I'm just a glutton for stuff like this. Your book's coming out in July, but I know the way the book world works, John. When are we going to start getting these bombshell leaks to the media? You know, Nick Saban, whatever. When's the first one coming out?
That's a good question, Paul. I mean, I think what I need to do, and maybe you can help connect me with him, Ian O'Connor, I think, has done it better than anybody.
Did.
The way that he had those bombshells coming out day after day, I mean, whoever he did it, whoever his agent is, I need to talk to that guy because it worked perfectly. And to the best of my knowledge, he got a New York Times bestseller out of it. So I'm going to try to copy that strategy. So, you know, we're going to leave some breadcrumbs, I think, soon. Paul, you know some of the things that are in the book. So
silly question.
There's some fun stuff in there.
I've read the book. I haven't seen the final copy. But so, John, when these things start coming out, the name of the book, The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban, the Alabama coach who became the greatest ever. This is a book you can order now. And if you order it and call me off the air, I'll give you one of the biggest and juiciest secrets. But that is going to be a big deal because there's a lot in this book that people don't know. And I'm not bringing this up for any other reason than that it's a big deal when you start getting these little leaks out. And then you start gauging how upset is Nick Saban about it.
Yeah, and I think that's I think we're all excited for that, right, Paul? Book itself, the official day that the book comes out, and you can pre-order it ahead of time. Go ahead, Amazon.com. You can do it right now, right? But the official day that it comes out is actually the Tuesday of SEC Media Days, which is the day that Nick Saban talks. So it's going to be fun to see how that plays out, especially as the leaks come ahead of time. Whether he's in a good mood to talk about it as SEC Media Days.
Well, a couple of years ago, Monty Burke did a book, and he completely disavowed it, went after Monty Burke. And I will tell you, as somebody who there was really nothing in the book. I know there's some things in this book. We have, what's that, Mark? We have a tweet. Okay, hold on a second, John. A tweet from a caller here. Tweeter, where is Talty's bar? Is he having a dry March? So, John, as you know, the last time you were here, there was more said about your bar than there was about anything you said.
Yeah, it's tough. I got overshadowed by the bar.
So is there some reason why you've gone cold turkey on us here?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, to the person who suggested the dry March, you know, I am a proud Irishman, and so March has not been dry. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I was telling Mark earlier, you know, I feel like I got to save it for the right moments. You know, if I bring it out every time, it's gonna lose its luster. So, you know, whether it's the book, whether it's, you know, first Alabama, if there's an Alabama loss or an Auburn loss, you know, have the bourbon behind me, you know, and people can just be like, all right, it's that time to have a drink. You know, I think that's what I need to wait for.
I think you ought to wait for the first morsels of the Saban book, because after that you'll need to drink, because your life expectancy in Alabama will be short. John, thank you very much. We will see you soon. John Talty joining us, and we are coming right back. A long way to go here on a Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here. Great conversation with John. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's talk to Foghorn, who is up next.
Paul?
Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, listen. I've got two questions, and they're serious questions, and I don't want to think this is an attack on you. I believe Sankey gives you marching orders, and I believe you back off of stories when he calls and yanks your chain. But number one,
you made a serious accusation, which is fine. It's your prerogative. Can you cite one bit of evidence to support?
You backed off the Hugh Freeze thing because it made Auburn look foolish, and I'm pretty sure you were ordered to do that.
Let me finish. What did I back off?
Let me finish.
They didn't fire Brian Harsin.
Let me finish, Paul.
I'm not going to let you finish if you state something. You said I backed off a story about Hugh Freeze going to Auburn when there wasn't ever an opening.
Well, there was an opening. They were doing it up behind the scenes. The problem was this Palestine-Israel conflict between Jimmy Sexton and Pat Dye Jr. is worse than Palestine and Israel. There will never be a coach at Auburn that is on the catalog of Jimmy Sexton. It is blackballed from his catalog. All his coaches know it. It was a joke. It was basically, I believe, Jimmy Sexton trolling Auburn. That's what happened. That's not what I called
you. I'll let you go as long as you can, but I mean, you said something I've never heard before. Have you ever heard this, that there is a conspiracy against Jimmy Sexton at Auburn when Gus Malzahn was a Jimmy Sexton client?
Anybody with half a brain knows that.
I never heard that before. You are the first person to ever bring that to light on this program.
I'm sorry, Paul. Your nose is growing. I don't believe you.
Well,
listen, let me finish, please. All right, next question.
This guy is good.
Listen, he
is good.
The rumor in Nashville, and I'm getting it from an attorney. I'm not the only person. You're not the only person that knows attorneys, because they talk worse than a women's sewing club. That Candace Lee has gone to the board of Vanderbilt and gotten approval to look in the viability of transferring to the ACC.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's being evaluated right now. What I'd like to see is for you to do some real reporting, ask her to the show, and ask her this question directly.
Would you allow me just to ask you a question or make a statement?
Sure.
First of all, I don't believe a word of that. I think it's completely specious and untrue. And secondly, do you have any earthly idea the hit that Vanderbilt would take by walking out of the SEC to go to the ACC from
they've
a
been
financial...
Made, they've been made financial guarantees from the ACC to
the ACC cannot. The ACC is not in the same universe right now as the SEC
is. Well, sure. Paul, if it's not true, then have Candace on to deny it.
I can assure you, I've been with people that know more than Candace does right now. And you're completely, you're literally making something up you heard in a bar.
No, I didn't hear it at a bar. Well, I can guarantee you that.
Well, I can guarantee you what you said is not true.
Again, your nose is getting longer. Well, you're no longer going to be able to fit on the set.
I'll sit here and be Pinocchio all day until you say something that is true.
Well, your nose will match your ears. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, when people make outrageous comments that affect a lot of people, I do believe in interrupting. I'm not one that normally interrupts somebody when they're making a complete and total fool out of themselves, because I'll take any criticism that people want to lay on me. But when you lay something that incorrect and that outrageous, and anyone who understands the economics of college athletics would know better than to ever believe a rumor like that. I may not know everything, and I don't know a lot of things, but I do know the difference economically between being in the Southeastern Conference and the ACC. You have one conference that is ascending, that is getting bigger, better, and wealthier, that has the best contract in television, and then you have another one who you could say is the antithesis of that. Hard to figure that one out, isn't it? Ed is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? It's a wild weekend, wasn't it?
Yes.
You there?
I'm here.
Hey, a couple things about Calipari. Once he got his national championship, it all started, in my opinion. You know, the Wisconsin game they had won, he just shut it down 4 minutes to go. They got five shots the last 4 minutes. But he gets all this talent in there, thinking that's going to carry him. The last few, he worries more now about getting kids to the NBA than he does at the college game. He's talking about a resume. I got this many kids in the NBA making this many billions of dollars. You know, he's forgotten the college game, and that's just my opinion. But I think that's what's happened. That makes sense.
Well, Ed, thank you. First of all, I disagree. He won the national championship in 2012, 10 years ago. He made it back to the championship game in 2014. He made it back to the semifinals and the Final Four in 2015. So after winning the title, that's not a bad run, being back to the Final Four two of the next 3 years. He has been since then to two more Elite Eights, which is significant accomplishment. And this year was his worst finish in the NCAA tournament after not making it last year. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Tom is up next in Kentucky as we continue here on a Monday.
Paul.
Hey, Tom.
Paul, I realize it's March sadness for Kentucky. But the Kentucky Wildcats will be back on top, and Coach Cal will be back on top, Paul. Coach Calipari is one of the best college coaches to deal with changes in college basketball. He's proven that ever since his days at UMass. He's going to be back. He's going to deal with the changes that come at Kentucky. He's going to deal with this loss, and Kentucky will be back next year. Next year I expect Kentucky to win the SEC tournament. And definitely go farther in the NCAA tournament. And another thing, the fans are forgetting. In 2019, we had a great team. I know the tournament got canceled, but we had a real good team going. If there would have been a tournament, our chances look really good, Paul.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. I've heard that one before. Michael is up next in Florida. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for call.
I want to know why y'all are on the ACC. We only have one team. But the ACC has all but one. Virginia Tech's the only loss. Y'all always rip on the ACC.
Well, Michael, I'm not talking about the ACC tournament record. I'm talking about the trajectory of the ACC. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the college playoffs. You go back to the 90s, they had that damn Florida State would won, what, 10, 15 national championships? You always wanted to downplay the SEC. Look at Florida State, Miami. They're coming back. They're going to rule this shit. You watch.
Yeah, I'll be watching, Michael. May need to get a new pair of glasses, though. John is up next. Good afternoon, John.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
You want the truth or the scripted answer?
Oh, lie to me, Paul.
It's going great.
After the last
couple of callers, I've never had more fun in my life.
Listen, Paul, what happened to your John Gotti suit? I've only seen you wear it one time.
The family of John Gotti demanded it back.
And
since I did not want to be a parking lot in Jersey City anytime soon, I gave it to them.
Okay. Do you know which suit I'm talking about?
The high cut. Well, you tell me before I commit myself.
No. It was the dark blue with gray pinstripes.
Oh. Almost wore that one today.
It looked good.
I like that.
Let me tell you a quick story about that.
So you said dark blue or dark gray?
Dark blue.
So it's blue with pinstripes. And it had
That's the best looking suit you'd had on. Let me tell you a quick story about the
best looking suit I have on wouldn't be a long competition, but I'll see if I can dig that one up tomorrow.
Let me tell you a quick story about my deal with a pinstripe.
Okay.
If you've got a little time. I'll make it quick.
No, take your time.
When I was working with Southern Comfort Custom Truck and Vans out of Birmingham, I had to buy some suits. And I told my wife to go, I think it was not Macy's, but I forget the chain that was in Huntsville. And I said, get me a nice-looking suit. Well, she came home when I got in off the road. She came home and she showed me a suit. And it was gray pinstripe. That night, I dreamed that I had a dream. And I was in the room where people were meddling around. And then my dream went over, and I looked down in the casket.
Oh my goodness.
Was me wearing that gray pinstripe suit that my wife had got her. And that happened for two nights in a row.
So she got you the suit.
Yeah.
Hey, my question is, does Barrow Insurance cover that?
Well, I don't know. But it happened two straight nights.
Never asked my wife to buy me a suit then. Oh, yeah, I can get you a free suit.
And then, I'm so superstitious, she got me a new pair of shoes, and I was trying them on. And I looked down, you know where the little number is?
Sure.
In the back of your shoe?
Yeah.
The first three numbers were 666.
Oh, man.
I made her take those back, too. Listen, Paul, I got a complaint to file on.
Or death, whichever one you like first.
I got a complaint on these announcers. You know, you're the only talk show that I listen to every day on ESPN, because in the morning time you got a bunch of guys sitting around discussing things, but they're all trying to talk over everybody else.
Right.
And I think the fact of the matter is that they're trying to out-talk each other. But it was just, I just can't watch them. You're the only show I watch, Paul, and I've been listening to you since you was in Birmingham. And one more thing. Why don't you bring back your old intro music? You know, when you had it in Birmingham?
Yeah, well, I think we had, that was Bush, wasn't it? We had two. We had two different ones.
The one that I'm talking about is.
And then I think we had Machine Head. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I tell you what, I'll get on that right now. We are coming back. If I'm not here when we get back, I went down the street to get a new suit.